This is a spiritual reading being given for Gabrielle Batson on Saturday, the 30th of April 2022 in Victoria, Australia. We stand within the hall of memory. The book of the soul is given into our hands. The book of the soul, Gabrielle, is a metaphor, if you like. It represents the journey of the soul since it first descended from the spiritual worlds into earthly incarnation from life to life over thousands and thousands of years. And so it is packed full of records of each incarnation. But when the soul came into incarnation first, it came in with its own characteristics, if you like. Souls back then were different, one from the other. And each soul bore within itself the stamp of the divine potential that it might come to achieve. As we hold it, we look at the cover, and on the cover there are three distinguishing traits. The first is that the cover has a colour, and the cover of the Book of the Soul is a deep red, close to the colour that you might call maroon. Now, in the centre, in a circle as it were, in the centre is a picture, a symbol of the soul. And the symbol, as we see it, is a white unicorn. Now, the symbol is, as it were, surrounded or emanates light into the cover. And where it comes in contact with the deeper reds, it touches them or turns those reds into purples. The book has a third characteristic, and that is it has a title. And the title is, as it were, written in golden lettering upon the cover. And as we see it, the title reads, The Virgin Spirit. So the three characteristics of the Book of the Soul are the maroon deep red cover with purples in the centre. The title of the soul, the name of the soul, is the Virgin Spirit, and the symbol of the soul is the white unicorn. Now, the name and the symbol of the soul were actually given in Atlantis, the Atlantean period. The name, the Virgin Spirit, indicates that the soul has an innocence, a chasteness and a purity about it, that when it first descended into incarnation, it descended in light as a being of light, and it descended with compassion, if you like, for other beings. It descended, so to speak, to assist the souls who were already in incarnation to free themselves from the bonds which were at that stage of evolution holding them fast to the physical and material consciousness, which in the end led to physical incarnation. And so the name, the Virgin Soul, indicates someone whose soul has a purity and is motivated by compassion for others. Now, that doesn't mean to say, of course, that you will have life after life where you're some kind of saint. Far from it, because once we descend into incarnation, it doesn't take long for the precious soul qualities to be enveloped by the soul vehicles, the astral, the etheric, and the physical body, and they do a pretty good job of stopping the soul from expressing its essential qualities very quickly. And as we look through the different incarnations, we will find that often the soul has been conflicted between the needs and the desires of the physical and the yearnings of the spiritual. But no matter how dark the night that it found itself in different lives, no matter the prisons that it experienced, the chains, there was always that spark within the soul that longed, that knew that this world was not its home, and that it would always aspire to return to the purity and freedom of spirit. The unicorn, by the way, is a symbol of Christ in Atlantis and indicates there the encounter with Christ in the Atlantean temples, of which more may come about later. We now open the Book of the Soul, and it opens to the current incarnation. And as we look at the two pages that the book lies open at, the right-hand side, on the right-hand side of the page, the soul paints a portrait of itself, and on the left hand side the soul tells a story of its journey. The portrait of the soul is represented through the colours of the aura, and as we see you, you stand within an oval, if you like, of colours, and the colour closest to the physical body is light red, the colour of the etheric, and actually a very good colour to have as your first colour. It indicates vitality, energy, the ability to relate to other people, the ability to connect and to forge links with other souls. The surrounding that are the what we might call the astral colours, that is, the colours of the desire body, if you like to use another name. And these colours are to do with the tasks that the soul takes upon itself in this incarnation. And the first colour is purple. And it's interesting that the purple colour is lit up to some extent by the etheric colour, the light red, so that there is, it goes from sort of being a lightish purple to deeper purples. Okay. Then outside that is a third colour, and that is a deep blue. There are greens around the hands, browns around the feet, deeper reds around the gonads and the heart centre, and also the adrenals, indicating actually issues that you would have to work at within this incarnation, and some of which you still have to deal with in the years ahead. In fact, some of them we can only deal once we reach our 70s. So congratulations on being at the threshold of the fulfillment of your life's purpose. We'll come to that in a moment. The colours of the aura, by the way, vibrate with an upward spiral, which is to say that the soul is on the spiritual path. In other words, it's moving towards the higher spiritual worlds in this incarnation, and would probably indicate that your goals for the future will be concerned largely with realizing your own spiritual potential. But of course, often to realize our spiritual potential, we have to take on a few more mundane things in life: sweeping the floors, making the meals, looking after people within our lives. This is how spirit treads the higher paths. From the shoulders, greens, blues inside the head, and the vortex is orange, which is a good sign. So greens from the shoulders, blues within the head, unusual, and orange entering into the head. Now, Melody will draw this as a sort of a vortex, a sort of a fountain of energy that comes into the consciousness through the crown center, and that indicates an awakening and an anointing in the future. The cosmic colors a very light, sort of a light purple or lilac colour above the head and below the feet, olive greens, so green sort of almost with a brownish tinge. The cosmic colours are not part of the aura per se. They are gifts from spirit to assist you to see more clearly in your journey ahead. And if we are able to make use of them, then they may indeed become part of the aura as the years go on. The over-self hovers about 4 inches above the head. The over-self is an expression of the I am, the inner divinity, which works through the soul into our lives and cannot be seen clairvoyantly because it is the most sacred part of each individual human being. But it does communicate to us. It sends us, if you like, a symbol or a sign so that we have some idea of what we should be doing, what the soul considers we should be doing. And the symbol of the over-self is an old woman sitting in a little room, in a tower, actually, spinning. You know, the old-fashioned spinning wheel and drawing together strands of wool and spinning them into one cohesive length of yarn. Now, that message we shall return to as we learn more about the soul's purposes and desires in this life. There are other images within the aura. On the left, sitting by the foot of the person, is a cat. A cat sitting up and looking at you with green eyes. The right is a goat climbing a mountain. And in the centre right in front of you is a figure that's veiled but whose face is lit up with light, so we can't see the face because of the light that's emanating from it. Now, these images indicate energies working within the aura, usually derived from previous incarnations that may have to be dealt with or are available to assist you as you move forwards. The left-hand side, the left-hand page, the soul is telling a story. And it tells the story in three lines, as I see it. A little three-line verse. And it has a title, and the title is The Virgin Spirit, which is, if you remember, the same as the title of the soul. That having been said, that means that in this incarnation the soul has incarnated in order to express its true purpose. Sometimes we incarnate to just balance the book, so to speak, or to repay certain things, or to learn certain lessons, and that's going to be true of you as well. But what's important is that in this incarnation, the soul has been freed to express itself from its deepest levels. And the verses I see it read something like this: to descend into the depths, to tread the common ground, to descend into the depths, to tread the common ground. The next line reads, to listen with the heart, to hear the soul's sound, to listen with the heart, to hear the soul's sound. And the third line, to enter into the new, to complete. The soul's round, to enter into the new, to complete the soul's round. Now, normally speaking, the first line refers to the first part of your life, the second line refers to the middle part from about your 30s to your late 50s. 60s, and the third part refers to the purposes of the future, starting from about the age of 60 for the rest of this incarnation. And it's interesting that one of your questions is, or talks about, a new phase of your life, because you have actually entered into a new phase, starting about 10 years ago. And if you look back on the last 9 years, you're going to reach the wonderful age of 69 this year, and then you can look forward to the 70s. If you look back at the last 10 years or so, what did you begin in that time? Because about 9 or 10 years ago, you should have been completing the old, and then in the last 2 to 3 years, there should have been an entry into a new understanding of yourself, as though the years before that were times of letting go, release, transition. And then starting 2.5 years ago, you would enter into a time of building, or we call it rebuilding, where you rebuild your sense of self. I won't say relabel yourself or rebadge yourself, that's what they say about brands. You're not rebranding yourself, you are rediscovering yourself. And in that time, doors should have been opening for you. And the next 3 years is, in a sense, a playing out, an expression, an unpacking of what's been happening in the last 3 years. You'll be focused more on values, perhaps on your financial situations, on your possessions, on what you own. But I really mean that more in a sense of the values that you are holding on to at present. It's a real assessment and reassessment, so that you're going to look at yourself and your values differently. You're going to reinvent and renew those parts of your life. Now, this is a really good time, by the way, to look back, because since January, February, that's the transition time, and this is the time to get perspective. And what I would suggest is that you look and ask yourself, have I become hardened or have I become softened? The 60s can be the most beautiful releasing period of our lives. If we make it about release, letting go, changing within ourselves, discovering that the old hang-ups and angers and problems that we had earlier in life, the sexual energies, we need to start letting them go throughout the 60s. The will levels, we need to start relaxing our will and start living in the present. If we live from the will level, we're always living in the future, because the will is always trying to change things for a goal that it sees in the future. When we start, when we live from that aspect, then we introduce anxiety into our lives. Anxiety is a sign that we're living from the future, trying to change, make changes. We don't like the situation now, so we're going to make changes. That's the will. Now, the 60s should be a time of letting that go, releasing the will. Sometimes people do the opposite. Instead of releasing, letting go and becoming soft, they hold on and become hard, the astral. I'm sure you're familiar with that term. The astral becomes like concrete. One's opinions and views become very decided, and we become reactive to people who seem to differ from us on those levels. Heart needs to be released in this time. The deeper reds, indication of sorrow within the love levels at certain times. Now, let's face it, Gabriel, life is a one-way journey. And it's can be looked at from two different perspectives. On the one hand, we experience a deteriorating physical body. We don't have the beautiful, vital physical vehicle that we had when we were in our youth, in our teens, in our 20s and 30s. Nope, we have a body, a physical vehicle that's gradually falling apart at the seams. But you know, the funny thing is that the soul really likes that. In fact, the soul is responsible for a lot of the dissolution of the physical. Now, the soul likes the idea that the physical is going to dissolve, because eventually, at the end of the dissolution process, the soul will become free. It will be able to return to its home. It's not presently in its home, if you can grab that. It yearns to return. So, in your 60s, if you have achieved acceptance and letting go and forgiveness, then the 70s are going to be a wonderful decade for you, because you will find that the seventh decade, which is astrologers would call it the decade of Saturn, is the decade of achieving, of building. Saturn rules building. So it's a decade of building, of creating something lasting within your life, of creating a legacy, of actually creating a new framework and a new identity of who you are. Well, let us come back for a moment to the picture of the soul. I think you might have to come for another reading at some stage, because I haven't got time to unpack the complex nature of your soul colours. But let's begin with the light red. The light red is the colour of life. And it's interesting that the unicorn represents life. And it represents the energy to unbind and to disconnect, if you like, from the physical world to some extent. In the old traditions, the horn of the unicorn was magic and would grant wishes. So when you have this particular light red colour, you have the ability to create a life that you wish for, which you probably did when you were younger. You probably were very good at creating the sort of life that you thought you should be leading. And I hope that when you were much younger, you had a lot of fun in your life and had lots of sex and lots of relationships with people and really enjoyed yourself, because that's what the light red was there for. The colours of the aura originate from different lives. So the first life that we see, which is connected with the light red, is about the 14th century, when you were a knight, you were a male in a physical body there, and you were a knight in Germany, part of the Teutonic Order, and involved there in European wars. You did a lot of fighting in that incarnation. You died quite young, which is one reason, I think, why there's a strong vitality there. I think that in that incarnation, you moved from being very self-centered, wanting to enjoy life and have a good time, to being very idealistic. Another thing associated with the light red, by the way, is a big sense of idealism. And you connected with the Teutonic Order and became part of this ideal that you would conquer for Christ. Now, that's a sort of a understanding of the work of Christ. But Christ never wanted people to conquer through force of arms, never wanted to see people killing each other and invading other countries. Christ wanted to conquer only through love. So, in a sense, that incarnation is a hit and a miss. Yes, you aligned yourself with Christ in a sense, but you missed the inner understanding. And the reason that you get to know about this incarnation now is because, again, you don't want to go off on a crusade. It can be very idealistic. Perhaps you could be very political or socially minded. It's good to have goals, aims, ideals, and want to change things in the world, because the world needs a lot of change. But it doesn't need a crusade. So what you've been asked to do in this life is not so much to change others, but to change self. And the paradox is that when one changes self, then others around you may well indeed change. And at the present, you are on the verge of a great change within self. here's a strange life. Round about the 11th century, 11th century in fact, perhaps the early 12th century even, but late 11th century, we see you as a little boy, and I think this would refer to the life that you had. You were born to one of the servants, and your mother, you were illegitimate, but your mother was a servant in the household of a cardinal. I mention that because that person is in your life today. Your mother became very ill, and you stole something precious from the cardinal, the bishop, the cardinal, whatever he was, and you were caught. You wanted to, it was something like a jeweled cross or jeweled crucifix or something like that, and you wanted to sell it. Well, you stole it, all right. You got it out of the house and you tried to sell it. Of course, you had no idea what to do. And the jeweler thought he could get more by turning you into the cardinal, the bishop, same bishop. And the bishop was pretty annoyed. So he just handed you over and said, "Hang this urchin," and you were hanged. Now, there's a couple of things that will come out of that. When you die by hanging in a previous life, it can create in later lives problems with breathing. Sometimes it can create something like asthma or other problems associated with the lung. Sometimes it creates problems associated with the throat as well. And certainly it affects the will center later in life, because your will is suppressed, you see. And that means that in a later life, that willfulness has to be expressed again, has to come out. It's interesting that in this incarnation you are associated, or you have a connection with that bishop, cardinal, whatever he was. Again, he's in a masculine body. And in this connection, you have an opportunity to release the karma, as does this person. So, whereas you stole something valuable in the 11th century life, now you give something valuable. And whereas the cardinal was occupied with possession and ownership of what was valuable, in this incarnation he will want to give it away. So that there should be some, perhaps it's happened already, but I suspect this is in the future, that there will be someone come into your life, if they're not already there, who will offer you something very valuable. And this time it will be offered as a gift. And whereas what you stole was a physical symbol, the crucifix, this incarnation, it won't be on a physical level. It could be on an emotional level, but more likely on a spiritual level, that the meaning of that symbol is going to be brought into your life in the years to come. Now, we should look probably, move now to the second colour, the purples. Here, the purple represents, it's the colour of the mediator. It's the colour of the person who stands between the divinity and humanity. Or if you want to put it another way, the person who stands between the reality of a person and the I'll call it the false consciousness that has developed over thousands of years. If you're a psychologist, you might call it the ego. But it indicates the person who can act as a bridge or as a guide to lead from the unreal to the real. And very often in former times, it was the priest. The priest was the bridge between the worlds. Sometimes literally, sometimes the priest would guide the soul into the afterlife. And this colour we see in two incarnations standing up very strongly. The first is an incarnation in Egypt. We're about 2000 BC. You are a priest of Anubis and working there with dying people, but mostly with conducting ceremonies for the souls after the person died and they're placed in their tomb, that it was part of your responsibility to make sure that the souls or the tomb was kept supplied with offerings, food, drink, flowers, and by that means you enable the soul to pass gradually and release itself gradually from the spiritual worlds and move into the spiritual worlds. So that there is there the connection with death. And may I say that in years to come, you may again be connected with assisting souls to pass from this life into the spiritual worlds. But the life that came before that was about 4000 BC, where here we see you in the healing temple. And here you have a connection with the goddess, I'll use the term Isis, although I don't think she was known as by that in that time. And you were part of the priestesses of Isis. And the symbol of Isis, or one of the symbols of Isis, is the Ankh, which is, don't know if you know this, but it's like an oval on top of a cross. And sometimes it's called the cross of life. So that it was your symbol then to hold, you would hold that by the top of the loop, And if you look at Egyptian depictions of Isis, you may find that she holds the Ankh in her right hand, usually. Now, what that meant is that you identified there with the feminine goddess, the feminine divinity. In that incarnation, you were part of the healing temple, as I've said, and part of your work was to work with souls who had been prevented from coming into a physical body. And the reason for that was that they were ejected forcibly from the physical in Atlantis. And for perhaps 10,000 years, they were unable to enter into physical incarnation, neither were they able to return properly into the spiritual world, so that they were in a sort of form of limbo. And so that your work was to help these souls come completely into the physical, so that you were dealing with souls, with bodies, as it were, that were like robots. They would go through life, but they had no thinking ability. They were like
imbeciles.
Thank you, Melody. Just give me the word imbecile. I was trying to think of a polite word, but imbecile is probably a medical term. And they had this blankness, the inability to think and communicate, because the soul was not fully ensouled. And once the soul was confirmed in the physical body, and once it could govern the physical body, then at the end of that life, it could return properly into the spiritual worlds and continue its evolution. So that yours was an intervention role, that you intervened in the You intervened in the course of the soul's evolution. You empowered it to journey on. And that would be something you could well do in this incarnation. You could be a counsellor, a psychiatrist, a psychologist, a therapist. And your work, and I think that will become even stronger in the years to come, will be to empower and motivate other souls. And you've asked about the role that you could offer to the Grail Chapel community, including if you're invited to be ordained. If you're invited to be ordained, I would grab it with both hands, because that would empower your soul to continue the work of intervention with other souls, and to empower other souls to get themselves together, so to speak, to lift them out of despair and depression, and to enable them to become not just grounded, not just with their feet on the ground, but their heads reconnected with spirit. The blues on the outer part of the aura is the third colour, really. It's quite a large colour. The blues indicate your connection with spirit. And in this particular case, they indicate your connection with the divine feminine force, which we saw in your incarnation as priestess of Isis. And you've asked about your relationship to Mary Magdalene. Well, this is not as straightforward as you might think. I don't see any connection, any relationship to the individual known in the Gospels as Mary Magdalene. But what I do see is a connection to the divine feminine. Now, this is not easy to grab, but the divine feminine, the feminine force, is not human. It manifests at various times through certain souls. It manifested in New Testament times through that soul known as Mary Magdalene, but it also manifested at that time in incarnation through two other souls. The second was Mary, who's the mother of Jesus, and the third is the Mary that we don't hear much about, but it is the named in the Gospel of St. John as Mary, the wife of Clopas. This is not the place to explain this in detail. But those three manifestations of the feminine energy manifest at different periods of history, if you can get that. So that in the second century, for example, there was an individual in France through whom the power of the Magdalene expressed itself very strongly. Now, I'll come back to that in a second, but the power, which I think I'm just going to call Mary, after the three Marys, when it's in spirit, it's one. Okay? Now that power comes into human consciousness from time to time. It came into consciousness powerfully in the 16th century. Twice, actually. Once in an apparition in South America, I think, where it's known as Our Lady of Guadalupe. It came into it came into human consciousness in Europe, and it's coming into human consciousness more and more as our evolution goes on, and at present it's coming into consciousness very powerfully. So it's important, if we are sensitive to spirit, then we will connect with this physical energy, and we may connect with one of three aspects. What the energy, the Mary energy, has asked every time it comes into manifestation is that we pray the rosary. I'm not asking you to convert to Catholicism. I'm asking for a moment that you consider what the prayer of the rosary is. And the prayer is threefold. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. That's Mary Magdalene. It's also Mary before she became the mother of Jesus, because this is where Mary is being addressed by the angel Gabriel. And, of course, is it a coincidence that your soul chose the name Gabriel? I doubt it. What the soul is saying here is that it has incarnated to receive the words of the angel, that the soul is to bring something to birth within it. That actually is the purpose of this incarnation, that the soul will bring to birth something. Now, what's the soul going to bring to birth? Well, that's given by the next line of the prayer. First line, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. But the second line is, Blessed are you amongst women, And why is she blessed? She's blessed because she's pregnant. So she's removed from the maiden, represented by Mary Magdalene, always there, to the mother, because blessed are you amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. So what this incarnation should be about is to move from the potential to the actuality. It's great that we are potentially capable of giving birth. That needs to be awakened in us. But what's important, what's crucial, is that we actually give birth. Whether we're in a masculine body or a female body, our souls have the potential to give birth to the Christ, to give birth to the I Am. So your relationship, as I can understand it, with Mary Magdalene, is that you are here to move from your relationship as a potential to a relationship with an actuality, almost from pregnancy to birth, if you like. And there is a third Mary, and what I will say about that is that that Mary is to do with death and to do with the care of the souls after death. That's why the third line of the rosary says, pray for us, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us now and at the hour of our death. And the hour of our death is the transition. So if you want a purpose in life, I would say, first of all, complete within yourself the birth of Christ within the soul. Secondly, move into the third expression of the feminine. You could call it the wisdom expression, if you like. That in the present phase, where you are bringing something to birth within the soul, you can enable that within other souls. But in future, you can do something even more. You can enable other souls to make the transition into spirit. And that might be a very, somewhat strange, but a very potent and powerful work for you in the future. The other colours I shall mention briefly in passing, the greens from the shoulders. Oh, something just reminded me. I left us hanging in France in the 2nd century. You were there in a male body, actually, and you were associated there with that's interesting. In that incarnation, you were again an initiate of the Isis mysteries, the mysteries of the feminine. Now, one of the symbols of Isis was she was depicted as black, so that the cult of Isis had black pictures of black women all over the place. And in the 2nd century, when Christianity was starting to take over, you were told, or you were inspired in a vision to become a priest, a Christian priest. And what you did very gradually and with great care and love is that you took all the statues of Isis that you could find and you hid them. So all around Europe, especially France, there are still statues, now they're called the Black Madonna, of course, but now there are statues that were of Isis, and the energy of Isis, the divine feminine, has become the energy of Mary. The greens from the shoulders indicate connection with healing. Also other characteristics, by the way, when you've got the greens like that, it's great if you can be in an environment where you're connected with the country, with the physical world, with nature, with growing things. Also, by the way, really good to have a connection with music. There are lives where you are very musical, but that's another story. The colour inside the head, blues, very spiritual thinking, very spiritual person, but blue doesn't quite work for thinking. What needs to happen in the future is that greater discernment, greater analytical power, greater intellectual ability is the wrong word, but greater intellectual activity enter in. It's as though you progress from being the mystic to being the philosopher. I think that's the way of putting it. And the orange is the colour of Christ. So that indicates to me that the vortex, which is orange, Christ, a new experience of Christ is entering into you in the next year, the next 2 to 3 years. And when that happens, and it will take about 7 years from the point it begins, then your thinking and your consciousness will be quite transformed. The cosmic colours, the lilac above the head, indicates an expression of the priesthood on a very spiritual level, very connected to the spiritual worlds and the opening up of the spiritual worlds. And the olive greens below the feet are more practical direction for life, building a healing ministry, or walking in a direction where you're combining healing with perhaps financial or work considerations. The symbols in the aura, on the left, symbol of the cat, and that is connected with the Egyptian incarnations and indicates still a connection to Egypt. And when you have a cat in your aura, by the way, it means you can defend yourself very well. There's a part of you that even to this day is unrestrained and unconstrained. And you will deal with that in the next 2 to 3 years. The right-hand side, the image is of a goat climbing a mountain. And that really says that the sky is the limit. It's a symbol of Capricorn, and you have Capricorn rising, I think. And that would indicate the ability to set goals. So keep your eye on the mountain, and in front of you is the figure. It's like a female figure, and yet the face is so filled with light that you can't see what it is. And here is your connection again to this feminine power, the power of Mary. And indicates that you will integrate this into yourself in the next 2 to 3 years. The symbol of the overself shows you sitting as an old woman in the highest room of a tower spinning. The old woman is the soul, and the soul is old. It's been coming into incarnation century after century, millennia after millennia. And it spins. And it is spinning is a drawing together of raw materials and creating a single strand. And so what you are doing at this point in time, Gabrielle, is drawing together all sorts of strands of your life and weaving them into one coherent narrative. And I will say that the verse, which is the narrative of the soul, is in the three phases. First of all, that you have to descend into the depths and you have to tread the common ground. And that indicates that the soul, which in a sense doesn't want to come into incarnation, it's a bit reluctant. It wants to stay in the spiritual worlds, so it has to have a bit of a push. It's made the journey, and it's had to get itself dirty. It's had to get its feet dirty. It's had to get the, I mean, heavens above, life is about getting dirty. And it means that you've got to get involved in relationships and sexuality and people. It's a really difficult ask for some souls, but you've done it. And then the middle part is to listen to the sounds of the souls around you. And that is what your work should have been developing from about the age of 30, 35, up to about the age of 58, 59. And now, you are in the stage of ascent, of reascending. And it's the time now for you to embrace the power of who you are, the purity of your soul, and the love and compassion that is part of you to help others move along their own path. And to be not just someone who urges and encourages, but someone who shows the way by walking in front and holding up a life and holding up a light. And the light will dispel the shadows and bring comfort, encouragement, and empowerment to many souls. And that would be a great task. So shall it be.